with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
And a good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of college football things to discuss. We've got the portal. The portal season is upon us. Huge news already. Heck, even yesterday there was already news. Even last week there was news, but this morning, probably not a surprise, but it's still kind of jarring a little bit when you see that one Dylan Gabriel is in the portal, leaving Oklahoma, so the Jackson Arnold era is upon us. Talk about Dylan, where he could go. Kyle McCord, Ohio State quarterback, also in the portal. Take a team 11-1, what, 30 yards, 35 yards away from a possible playoff spot? First year under center, first year at the helm, and just gone. It's a different world we live in college football. So we'll hit the portal. We'll hit the playoff. Lots and lots and lots of opinions about what we saw yesterday from the college football playoff committee. So we'll break as much of that down. The New Year's Six Bowls, I think there's some arguments there that are being made online as well. And, of course, rehash the conference title games. Kind of go with chronological order that led us to what we saw yesterday with the unveiling of the college football playoff. So that's what we've got. Also got the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em final results. End up being a nice, clean 1-2-3. No tiebreaks necessary, although the winner, if there would have been a tiebreak, he'd have been impossible to beat. Because the tiebreaker question was how many points in Georgia-Alabama. He hit it dead on the head.
Nice.
So it would have been tough to beat the winner, and we'll tell you who that is here a little bit later. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We're talking about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. Give us your thoughts on what the playoff committee gave us as a four-team playoff. If you're outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app has it all. You've got radio, you got the Penny News, you got Big Elk and Paragon TV, which will be on the air exclusively this week. I mean, all over the place this week, especially by the end of the week with the different tournaments going on. And, of course, Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you missed this show entirely, you can check us out anywhere where podcasts drop. Hello, Jared. How was your weekend?
Good. How was yours?
It was pretty lazy. We literally just watched football all day Saturday.
Well, that's not a bad weekend.
No, it was. I was actually shocked and quite proud.
Wow, sorry. Just surprised myself.
Of my wife being able to watch three different football games. I mean, kudos to her.
Right? Yeah. That was my wife last weekend over the Thanksgiving break. I watched a ton of football then. But I was a little more productive this weekend.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you I wasn't productive, Jared. You're about to find out just how productive I was, at least on Saturday. All right, let's go in order. Conference title games. Back to Friday. I got to listen to, the last quarter maybe of this game, driving home from Weatherford with Oregon and Washington. I really didn't have any idea. I kind of glanced up one time and saw that Washington was ahead early. But until I got in the car to come back home, I didn't realize that they once led 20-3.
Yeah.
And then gave that lead up after Oregon scored 21 in a row to take a 24-20 lead. I actually think Washington was scoring to make it 27-24 when I got in the vehicle. So whenever that happened, it was fourth quarter. But then from then on, man, it was just it was a lot of fun, like the back and forth, especially over the last couple of minutes. But at the end of the day, you have a couple of things happening. Penix was good. The running game was even better for Washington. And to me, that was the difference in it, right? It was Penix made a couple of plays on third or fourth down. Washington was able to run the football. Oregon couldn't stop them. And that turns out to be the difference when Oregon couldn't get the ball back.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm the same way. I was out, you know, calling games, but I was able to get home. Fortunately, I was right down the road from my house, so I was going home a little quicker, and I was able to watch the fourth quarter, which is pretty much the quarter you wanted to watch in that game. I was following it, you know, but feeling pretty good about my pick of Washington, and then they gave up the lead, then they got it back, and I was wondering, you know, outside of the conference title and the playoff implications, we saw how that shook out, and we knew if Washington wins, they're in. Oregon had a real good shot if they were to win. But my question is Heisman. Was that the two front runners for the Heisman?
No.
Were they playing for the Heisman?
No, and I'll tell you why here in just a little bit. Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay.
There is only one guy that can win the Heisman this year. Only one after what happened yesterday. Only one guy can win the Heisman. And it's Jordan frickin' Travis. If he's that damn important,
oh, yeah,
then he has to be the Heisman winner. If he is so important that an undefeated Power 5 team can't play in the playoff, then Jordan Travis has to win the Heisman.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Has to.
I've seen that point brought up yesterday.
He absolutely has to.
During the ton of opinions on social media that's a good point.
If
he's that important to a team
and
their team's playoff chances, give him the Heisman.
He has to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
He's the only reason.
Stats be damned. I mean, give him the Heisman. He's
the only reason they're not in the playoff.
Exactly.
I actually think, just looking at the betting markets, I think Penix is going to end up second. But I think your Heisman winner is going to be Jalen Daniels at LSU. The stats he put up
were
so incredible.
Yeah, I just wish there was a little bit more. I wish they were playing this weekend.
Well, and here's the deal.
I needed to see him play this weekend.
If you look in the losses, he was – okay against Florida State. We saw what that defense is. I mean, it's obviously incredible. But, you know, the Bama game turned. The Bama game is going to be a wild shootout, and it turned when he got knocked out of the game.
Right, right.
And then their other loss was at Ole Miss, and they put up, 49? I think it was 56-49 Ole Miss or 56-52 Ole Miss, something like that.
Yeah, it was a shootout.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is –
yeah, you put the numbers.
The reason that they lost wasn't really his fault. But, yeah, I mean,
I wonder how many.
That was definitely the narrative on the radio.
Yeah.
As they were going back and forth was, you know, the drive, it was 27-24. Washington took over and marched it 7-minute drive. Penix made a couple of really huge plays, finished it off with the touchdown. And the guys on the ESPN radio, that was is that his Heisman moment?
See, I was looking for it. I was looking for him to tuck it and run and flip into the end, something Heisman worthy. I was looking for that, yeah.
And then here came Nix two plays later. They're in the end zone, and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. Bo Nix isn't done, you know.
Yeah.
And the interesting part of that game to me was the end. And the decision by Dan Lanning, as a defensive coach, with that much time on the clock, and all three timeouts, it was 2:45, something like that. All three timeouts, his decision to onside kick as opposed to kick it deep. And here's what I think it tells you. He had less than zero faith that his defense could stop that Washington offense.
Right.
And he proved right. He did the right thing when you looked at the results later. I was just a little bit surprised he didn't try to create field position in case they could get a stop.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe he had any faith that they could do it.
Yeah, Penix was okay. I mean, he made plays when he needed to make plays. And at this time of the year, that's, I think – more important than huge gaudy numbers, just make the plays, because he had that horrible interception early in the game and
they kind of threw it back and forth there at one point,
right? I think that's a little shocking. I think Lanning, being the defensive minded guy, thinking, okay, let's force him to make another mistake, let's put the pressure on him. I'm surprised he didn't kick it deep.
I just don't think they had any faith stopping Dylan Johnson. And that's the thing about Penix. You look, 27-39, 319, a touchdown and a pick. Pretty good day. But it felt like the story coming out of that was more the run game and Oregon's inability to stop Johnson than it was, you know what I'm saying, than it was Penix. Then we go to Saturday morning, Texas-Oklahoma State for the Big 12 title. Texas just absolutely dominated the Pokes throughout the entire thing. That offense was unbelievable, setting Big 12 title game records in the first half. I mean, I think at one point, late into the second quarter, if not clear at halftime, Texas was still averaging over 10 yards a play, which is just unbelievable. You know, it's one thing to do that for a couple of drives. It's another thing to do that for like six different possessions and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a bad matchup for Oklahoma State. What they did good, Texas takes away. Obviously, Ollie Gordon was a zero factor. And if you looked pre-game, you could kind of see that coming. Texas is the number four rush defense in the country, only giving up like 85 yards a game. It was always going to be tough sledding for Oklahoma State running the football with Gordon. And then, you know, OU fans going, oh, well, we had 200 yards. The difference was a lot of that came from the quarterback. And Oklahoma State didn't have that threat. Right. Alan Bowman was zero threat to try to run the football, whereas Gabriel was able to kind of make Texas pay a little bit on the ground. But all in all, Texas's offense was way, way too much for Oklahoma State's defense.
Yeah, and I know there's some questions. I was listening a little bit of post game, and I think the question that was brought up on the Animal right here on the Animal was, you know, the preparation defensively was it looked poor at best, or is it just Texas is just a red hot team right now? They're that good, hard to prepare for them. It's hard to put blame. You know what I mean? I don't go, they didn't prepare at all defensively for Texas. Well, maybe they did, and Texas is really, really good.
Kendall Daniels can't cover anybody. And he's one of their best – he's one of Oklahoma State's best players. He's a super physical safety, but he couldn't cover anybody. He couldn't cover Sanders. He couldn't cover Whitting. He couldn't cover the receivers, obviously. He couldn't cover Sanders either. And I think it was almost like an NBA playoff game at times where – Texas and Steve Sarkisian zeroed in on a matchup advantage that they felt like they had, and they just exploited it time and time and time and time and time again. How many times was five on defense trailing a receiver that had the football, trailing a tight end that had – trailing even sometimes a running back that had the football? They picked out that he wasn't very good in coverage or he wasn't fast enough or whatever it was, and it felt like they just abused Kendall Daniels, which – is one of Oklahoma State's better defensive players. So if that guy is getting abused, then how in the world can, you know, it was a masterclass to me.
Another thing that was brought up was offensively the start. You look at a game, I kind of look at the start of a game, especially a big game, a starting series could set the tone for the entire game. Kind of like your first drive on a round of golf. If you shank it or slice it, you're like, oh, here we go. It's going to be a long day. They came out, you have Ollie Gordon, they threw it three times.
It also tells you what they thought about Texas's run defense.
Yeah.
It was almost like the OU game plan.
But you just told Texas, we know we can't run it against
but
you.
But it was like the OU game plan. Same thing they did against the Sooners. Came out throwing it to try to loosen things up, and it just didn't happen. Oklahoma State was it's amazing they were in that game for some of the things we saw out of them on the negative side all year long. You know, it's amazing they were even in that game, but it was it was a horrible matchup for OSU. Then we go down to Atlanta. SEC title game, Georgia and Bama. Was it just me, or did it almost feel like Georgia wasn't into it until the fourth quarter? And maybe it was because, you know, McConkey obviously couldn't play. He tried, couldn't. Bowers was limited. And maybe some of that goes into the offensive execution things that you could see throughout. Because they went right down the field. It was almost like they went right down the field that first drive and went, okay, it's where we're at. And not let down, but just kind of ease things up, where Bama, that made them even more intent on what they were trying to do. And it just felt like Georgia was just kind of going through the motions throughout a bunch of that game. And then all of a sudden, they look up in the fourth quarter, down 10. And you're like, okay, we got to get it going.
Yeah.
And it was just too late.
Yeah. Because I'd picked Georgia, I was thinking the same thing. I thought, well, they're going to look up in the fourth quarter. They're going to turn it on. They're going to win this thing by three. But, you know, that's how I felt like it was going to happen. But credit Alabama. They came out, it looked like, more inspired, hitting harder, wanting it more. It's easy, and it just goes to show. And I know the SEC is a wild animal, and we knew that game was going to be tough no matter what for Georgia or Alabama, whoever the matchup was going to be. That's the SEC for you. But it just goes to show you how hard it is to consistently win like Georgia has the last 2.5 seasons or 2+ seasons, right? As it is incredibly hard to do. It's you're going to slip up every once in a while.
The last loss was in that exact stadium 2 years ago to that exact team. Nick Saban, I mentioned it on Friday. I'll trying to talk myself into Bama. I just couldn't do it. That he had never lost there. He never lost to Georgia in the SEC. You know,
something had to give.
They had never. I mean, Bama had kind of dominated that SEC title game. Never lost in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Never lost to Georgia in the big or the SEC title game. There's a lot of who's the best or the best. I think that game is played tomorrow. Georgia's still favored. I think people still think Georgia's the better team than Alabama, but they weren't that day. And kudos to what Alabama has become. But it was funny yesterday listening to all the things. The only thing was that talked about with Alabama was this week. There was absolutely never a mention of last week because that wouldn't fit the narrative now, would it, Jared?
How they did against Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, that was never brought up.
No. Against an Auburn team that lost to
that was 6-6. No offense to Danny G, but, you know, New Mexico State blew them out. Never a mention of that game or that UCF game or a USF game where it was tied in the fourth quarter.
Right.
No. It was all about, wow, did you see them beat Georgia yesterday? Only? Yeah. That's the only thing that happened all year long. I thought it was wild. One of the most annoying things about the bigger the game gets in college football is the stoppages for reviews.
Yeah.
How the hell did they not do that one? On the catch toward the end of the first half, fourth down, Milroe fires it out toward the right sideline. Bond dives. I mean, any time somebody makes a diving-looking catch, diving-looking interception, somewhere near – the game is always stopped in a big game.
Looking for the touch.
Looking for the ball to roll.
The ground or,
and yeah. At the time, I thought, man, I cannot believe they didn't review that on such a huge play, which Bama ended up scoring to go up 17-7 at halftime. And then, of course, they walked Gene Steratore out to have to break the news to the Georgia fans of, they should have stopped that, and it should have been an incompletion. Sorry about that 7 points, and maybe even up to 10-point swing, because then Georgia gets the ball around the 40, and have a chance at maybe kicking a field goal to tie the game at halftime. I thought that was really interesting that just didn't happen. And then CBS has to walk Gene out there because as soon as it came back and he was sitting there in between Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson,
yeah.
I knew exactly where he was going.
Yeah.
Because of that dive. I was like, man, something. He's either going to show that it absolutely was a catch
or
he's going to show it wasn't.
Yeah.
If it was like a call stands, they may not even mentioned it.
Yeah.
So that was pretty wild. And just another kind of extra little rabbit's foot for Bama. Then Florida State in the ACC. Listen, I get it. The offense is bad. Third quarter of it, you know, I would ask you, outside of Cardale Jones for Ohio State in 2014, whose offense wouldn't be bad with a true freshman that's only thrown 4 passes in the entire year, having to step into that spot?
Yeah.
It's an impossible situation for that Florida State offense. They found a way. The Wildcat – with Mo Feely was obviously very, very productive, probably, at least on the offensive side, the reason they won the game. But I think it is so hilarious that if it fits a narrative, we talk about the greatness of defense. I want to take you back to 2011. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And a 9-6 horrific offense game between Alabama and LSU that ends up at, what, double overtime, Tigers win, then gets used as the gold standard of defense to fit a narrative to get those two to play in the title game as opposed to Oklahoma State that season. But this doesn't work in that favor. You know how many touchdowns Florida State has given up since Jordan Travis got hurt?
One.
One touchdown in 38 drives by the opponent. One. That just gets kind of...
So, yeah, at the same time, and Robot, well, I guess we'll have to talk about Michigan thumping Iowa, but at the same time, a friend texts me and goes, man, I want Iowa's defensive coordinator, and I could tell what game he's watching. I said, screw that. I want Florida State's defensive coordinator.
I don't care about the coordinator. I want their players.
Yeah.
I want that. That number eight.
But wouldn't you want a guy that, I don't know anything about their defense coordinator, so please forgive me. But
which one?
I feel Florida State's. Yeah. But I feel like if you're gonna want one over the other, I want him because maybe he has inroads to those southern guys, those guys in the southeast or in the Florida area. Sorry, Iowa. Sorry, Midwestern boys. But I want those dudes.
Well, and yes, and if you're talking about it from an OU standpoint, OU's had some success in the Southeast, especially Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know how many guys are ripping out of Ohio State's backyard or Michigan's, but not many. Brian Asamoah, I can think of him. All right, let's we'll have plenty of Florida State discussion, I'm sure, in the next segment.
Next few weeks.
Yeah. Iowa. Iowa, Michigan. I mean, I really...
God bless you, Iowa.
I watched like three plays.
You knew what
I'm going to tell you right now. The epitome of Iowa football happened on Saturday night. And it's funny you said try hard. Because, I mean, that punt return...
Yeah, I saw that one, actually.
Effort,
that's a little bit I watched. I saw that.
Dude, Ettlinger, I think is his name.
Yeah.
For him, if he did... I mean, the punt was clear down inside the 10, right? And he was the gunner, and he missed, or inside the 15, whatever it was. And he misses, and he flies by at least 5 yards from the punt returner. And the punt returner's going the other way as he's sliding. They're going opposite directions. He gets up, runs through the whole crowd of people, and tracks that sucker down at, like, the 2-yard line. I mean, that was, to me, the epitome of Iowa football. Try hard, great play, awesome. And it's still an 87-yard punt return. They still scored a touchdown.
Yeah. I saw that. I go, okay. Little golf clap. All right. But they're going to score in like 2 plays anyways. But.
It was amazing. And listen, in no way am I trying to bring that down. That was an unbelievable play by that guy. It can't be – a lot of things yesterday, like, oh, man, that can't be taught. You're right. That can't be taught. That is just a kid – getting up and flying down and wanting to make a play. And he did. And it was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
The game was awful. Michigan just kicked their butt. And I'm not real – you know, I've been pretty high on Michigan all year long. Seems like are they just running – has all the outside stuff – like of all the teams, I think they're the ones that need this break the most. Because it feels like all of the outside stuff is kind of running them down a little bit. That makes sense?
Uh-huh.
Especially offensively. They just haven't. They've won these games, and McCarthy's been pretty good, really, the last two. But it just seems like there's a little bit of ugh with Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah. I mean, you got 2 duds and 3 really good games. Over conference championship weekend starting Friday.
They were fun.
You know, even the Florida State game was it was intense. It was completely
– Yeah, every drive, I love those games. You get down to the fourth quarter, every drive, I mean, somebody could bust one or something and it could break the game open or totally turn the momentum around. I love that.
Well, and the play of the game –
Yeah, I love defensive battles too.
The play of the game was the punter not trying to punt it. When they rushed in there, him just falling down.
Yeah.
That was the play of the game. Because if he tries to punt it, it's probably a touchdown.
True.
Guaranteed a safety. Not guaranteed, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The ball goes toward the end zone. There is no telling what happens at that point. And instead, he just falls, gets tackled, lets that defense go out there, and that dude, Bethune, almost had a pick on the first play, and then does on the third down in the end zone. Yeah, Will's right. Will Bowie's right. Blaze Berlewitz came in for New Mexico State, if you don't remember him. He's the Cushing quarterback.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He came in the conference title game on Friday. All right.
Nice.
So that's a recap of how we got to yesterday. Now let's talk about what happened yesterday. When we come back, college football playoff is set. Get Jared's thoughts on the teams that are there. My thoughts, y'all's thoughts. 225-9698. Give us a text. What you think? Skinny on Sports right here on The Sports Animal.
Hi, everybody. This is David Osterloh. Many of you know me because I ran a retail business in Elk City for over 30 years. That's where I learned that if you take care of your customers, they will take care of you. So when it was time to look for a career in real estate, I wanted to land someplace that had the same principles. Western Oklahoma Realty seemed like a natural fit. Putting people before property is the same as taking care of your customers. Since I've been at Western Oklahoma Realty, I've come to understand that is how they do business. People before property is not just a hashtag, it's a way of taking care of customers. When you are looking for your next home, we will find a place that your family can call home. When you are going to sell your current home, we will find a buyer that loves your place as much as you do. Western Oklahoma Realty, where putting people before property is a way of life. Come see us at 602 West 3rd Street. We are in the historic greenhouse on the hill, one block west of Homeland. Or you can check out our website, westernoklahomarealty.com, or even call us at 580-225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Rehashing the weekend of college football playoff committee decisions coming up. What do you guys think? 225-9698. What would you have done with the college football playoff? Who would be your four teams? Four teams are Michigan number one, Washington number two, Texas number three, and Alabama number four. All right, Jared. Give us your thoughts on what you saw.
Well,
and I mean,
during the game, the ACC champ game, I was going back and forth with our man Jeremy, and he said, "Man, it doesn't pass the eye test. Even if they win, they don't get in." And I was, you know, and I was saying this even going last week, saying you can't keep an undefeated team who wins a conference title out. I don't care what their personnel is; they've earned it. It's the quantity of wins, the body of work that should be rewarded, right? I had no doubt that they'd get in because of just winning the title and moving on. That should do it. The undefeated, the big zero, the big goose egg on the other side of that 13. And then they're left out. And I guess my reaction was disappointed. Like, I'm disappointed in the committee, and that's what the route that they chose to go in. But there is that caveat. They have that clause that says if players hurt, it can affect their decision, and they chose to do it. And then I kind of wondered, well, do they even care? This is the last time it's a 14 playoff. Next year it won't be as crazy if it's a team getting in the 12 spot over another team. Maybe it will. But
it would be here about now.
Oh, it would be if it was – but I'm talking like a lower level, like a Boise State getting left out for Liberty or something. But it I'm disappointed in and it, you know, a lot of people are up in arms. I wonder – somebody said, well, then now they're going to sue them and everything. No, they don't, because they have it in that clause that says that they knew, Florida State knew, this was a possibility. But I don't agree with it. I think they should be in. It's sending a bad message because, and then Travis said, man, I wish I would have got hurt earlier in the year so the committee could see how good this team is without me. And I was like, is that the message they're sending? I said this yesterday. If your star quarterback or star player gets hurt, did the committee just tell a team, okay, then everyone should just opt out the rest of the season because you don't have a shot? It sends a bad message. So I'm disappointed in the committee's decision to leave them out. I feel bad for that defense that was awesome on Saturday night, for those skill players I mentioned going into this game. It's a team sport, not a single. It's not tennis. It's not an individual sport. I feel bad for those players that, again, all season long worked their tails off, goes undefeated, wins a conference title, and they're told you can't play for a national title. That's my reaction.
So a couple of things. I don't know that it makes anybody opt out later on. I'll tell you what it does. Let's just pretend Florida State. They knew Jordan Travis was done for the year. But Mm-hmm. Instead, they kind of went with the, oh, it's week to week, it's getting better. You know what? If he's supposedly week to week, does that change?
Yeah. I see what you're going. Yeah.
Does that change the opinion of the kid? Oh, they might have him back. I mean, if Florida State just lies about it, did they get in?
That's a great point.
And yeah. I mean, I already said what I said about the Heisman. If Jordan Travis is this important, then he should 1,000,000% win the Heisman.
Right.
If he is so important to an undefeated team that it keeps him out of the playoff because he's not playing, give him the trophy.
Yeah.
Nobody else even needs to go to New York. He is absolutely the winner of the Heisman Trophy if he's that important.
I wonder how many votes he'll get. Many more votes. He'll get votes, but I wonder how many more. Because, you know, people are just to make a point.
I mean, the committee is just ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is nothing more. And you know who ought to be ashamed of himself? And it's a guy that I have really liked for a long, long time, covering college football. Kirk Herbstreit ought to be ashamed of himself. I mean, he has clearly been the ESPN SEC voice through this whole thing. Watching him and Fowler celebrate when Milroe threw the pass. For a guy that won't pick a team to win a game he calls and then jumps up and down like a cheerleader in the booth, that's just not a good look when everything that he's saying goes toward that way. Mm-hmm. I just think the committee did not do Florida State any favors whatsoever. They knew they were going to do this. They knew they were going to do this 2 weeks ago. It didn't make any difference if Tate Rodemaker or Brock Glenn came in and played awesome football. Because Jordan Travis was hurt, it gave them an out to not do something that they couldn't stomach doing. And what is that thing? That thing is keeping the SEC champion out of the playoff, which absolutely should have happened yesterday because it's the cleanest thing there is. You have three undefeated teams from Power 5 conferences. They're in. The other two conference champs, I'll be danged, they played. 1-1, one lost. The winner in the playoff. It's that simple. It literally is that simple. I don't care what order you put them in.
That's why I said it was going to be boring.
I don't even care what order it is. Yeah. But that's how it works. You have to be rewarded for winning your games. And in Florida State, you can't even say they didn't schedule. Two of their out-of-conference games were SEC teams. Beat them both. The point is to win the game. The point isn't because Vegas thinks you're better. Vegas thought Oregon was 10 better. Where are they? On the couch. Vegas thought Georgia was 5.5 better. Where are they? On the couch. Should Bama just not played the game because they were an underdog and Vegas thought they were a worse team? Of course not. And the problem with this committee has always been it's a four-team playoff with five giant conferences. There's always somebody left out, right? And there always has been somebody left out, except for one. And it was just not going to happen. No matter whether it should or shouldn't. And in my opinion, it absolutely should. There was never, ever, ESPN, the committee, was never going to allow a playoff without an SEC team. And that's why you didn't hear a thing yesterday about Auburn and Alabama. All you heard for Alabama's whole case. You didn't even really hear the Texas game brought up. The whole case was yesterday. The whole case was built upon that win over Georgia. And you have to, and now you've got Mike Norvell and all the folks down at Florida State having to look their players in the face and tell them, you know, we all know life ain't fair. This is even above and beyond that. But what do you think about the negative recruiting that's going on right now towards Florida State?
Yeah.
Why are you going there? That you can go undefeated not playing the playoffs. Now, that's not going to be the case anymore because of 12. I get it. But you know that's being said.
Mm-hmm.
And how fast do you think that they can drum up a couple of $100 million in donations to get out of the ACC?
Oh, they're I've heard they're already – they want out. They want out.
I mean, think about it.
And other teams are wanting out too. They think, if we can't beat – this conference.
I mean, if Florida State can't get in.
Yeah. What are we doing here?
I mean, sorry, Virginia.
I saw a tweet or a rumor that they're reaching out to the Big 12. Some teams are reaching out to the Big 12.
I'm sure they are.
Thinking, well, they got Texas in. Well, I guess that still matters. But yeah, it's.
You know, you hear all kinds of justifications for it. I mean, the Travis injury, it obviously does make a difference as far as maybe their probability of winning, right? I mean, their odds go down. The line, Georgia, obviously double-digit, two-touchdown favorite over them in the Orange Bowl now. Who cares? And this is always the problem with not having a set of qualifications. And one of the greatest things I saw yesterday, this isn't a playoff, it's an invitational.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because if it's a playoff, then there's guidelines that have to be met to meet – to be able to play in a playoff. You know, like the NFL. You have to be this or you don't get to play in the playoffs. There's really no there's no set of that. You know, what does best mean? Well, best to me, best to you, it's two different things. Mm-hmm. And out of all of it, you know, the argument was, oh, you got to get the best four teams or you got to get the four most deserving teams. They didn't either. This committee did neither of those things. Because the most deserving are the three undefeateds in Texas because Texas beat Alabama. I think we could pretty well all agree on that, right?
Correct.
Then the best, if you want to bring up the Vegas stuff, they didn't get the best four either. Because if they got the best four, you'd kick out another undefeated Washington and put Georgia in.
Try it.
They did neither of those things. No. So, you know, oh, they did it. They got the best four. No, they didn't. And they damn sure didn't get the most deserving four either. And if I was at Florida State, man, I can't even imagine just the – what do you do if you're them? What can you do?
I don't know. I'm sure they were scrambling with their legal department trying to figure out if there's a way they can just really stick it to them. But there's nothing – I mean, there's going to be a lot of I honestly can't wait till next season. Because it doesn't feel like a lot of people are – it feels like a lot of people are obviously in favor of Florida State. Like, oh, they got screwed. That's wrong, da-da-da. How's it – the ramifications of this, and it's going to be weird because it is now a 12-team playoff, but you're going to start seeing like, well, you know, a lot of comments made towards that committee. Like, well, apparently, well, yeah, we won the day, but it doesn't matter. The committee doesn't like – you know, they don't care. What matters is if we – keep our quarterback healthy, stuff like that. And that's going to ring throughout the country.
So could Florida State, once they sewed up their ACC title game spot, they had, North Alabama, the game that Jordan Travis broke his leg?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, they had Florida, neither of which are – would they have been better off just not playing him? We're going to set him. I mean, the committee is almost saying if you just set him down and lost and then brought him back and won, you'd be in. It'd be a better case. There's a bunch of don't play the bowl game. I think that would be awesome.
Just
prepare like yeah. You go down, let the players have a great week in Miami. Go through the whole thing like you're going to play. And then when you run out of the tunnel, just stay on the sidelines.
Ooh. But that's not fair to their fans. You know, there's a lot of people. I know it's not a big trip. That's still in the state of Florida.
I don't think their fans would care.
Yeah.
At this point, I think they would love to
it's
stick
like,
it
well,
to the
they,
man.
They, yeah, they enjoyed the – yeah.
I think, you know, we're getting don't show up for the game. Don't. I think it would be even better, too, because here's the thing. If
show up
you,
to the game, just refuse.
Then just don't play.
Just don't play.
Well, and then that forces ESPN to scramble and have to either have a real conversation about what happened and why this is going on down on the field where there's a game that isn't going on. scramble for programming? What are you going to feel with it? You know, all that kind of thing.
Like, well, what if they went out there offensively and just took a knee every time? Just blew the game, you know?
Don't even do that. Just stand on the sideline, look at your band, and just do the tomahawk chop for 3.5 hours.
That's good. That's good.
Just chop away.
That's awesome.
And then just look and go, you didn't think we had a chance against Georgia anyway, so what does it matter?
Yeah.
I mean, the legal thing, I just don't think that's possible.
There's nothing there.
I don't think there is.
Yeah. But you know, as soon as that came down, like, all right, get our lawyers on the phone. This is ridiculous, you know. And there's the committees. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, there was definitely some, you know, different political figures that I saw tweet out yesterday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
DeSantis was one. Yeah. Byron Donalds was another.
Right.
That, you know, from the state of Florida, that voiced their displeasure. I mean, I thought Mike Norvell's statement was spot on. The AD's statement was spot on. It is. For college football, it's a travesty. What happened to them? And there's no. You can think here's the thing. You can think they're not the best, one of the best four. You can think that, and you might even be right. You might be right, but I know they won every game put in front of them. See, I know.
Yeah.
You just think. And now the college football playoff committee is now in the business of prognostication, as opposed to looking at a set of data and using that as fact. And that's where, you know, along with who was in, there's a lot of angles to it. One last one, and I think we all know. And Boo Corrigan might have said this in so many words, that Florida State would be in if not for the Jordan Travis injury. As an undefeated team, they're not the same team.
Right.
Well, so by that standard, and to me it means the next guy, the quarterback, isn't a good quarterback. Right? That's what Tate Rodemaker is viewed at. He's not a good quarterback. So if we go back 2017 with Kelly Bryant, should they be kicked out? Clemson? Kelly Bryant was brutal. Matter of fact, they got shut out by Bama. But who had 2017? Jalen Hurts. He wasn't any good either.
Right.
Anybody remember Connor Cook from Michigan State?
A little bit. But.
So, I mean, but the point is now the precedent moving forward that your quarterback's not any good, you can't play, even though you've won. And this is all for naught because the ACC will have a spot now because it's 12 teams. This is all for naught. And nobody's going to get as riled up about a team being 13th instead of 12th as they will about this.
Yeah.
And it's impossible for it literally is impossible now for a Power 5 undefeated to miss out on the playoff because there's 12 spots. It's not ever, ever, ever going to happen, even though nobody really thought what happened yesterday would ever happen either. It's ridiculous. It's not right. But it's happening. And there's not a dang thing you can do about it.
Yeah, to your point about the quarterback, that's a little – I would be insulted if I'm Florida State. It's Florida State. I mean, they're – you would think next man up, right? It's not like they're recruiting bums from middle of nowhere. They're finding players and developing and everything. And that's a little – I would be insulted if I'm Florida State because you're telling me my next guy, my quarterback room is no good. So you're keeping them out too? That's a little insulting.
Well, how many times do
you... Like, what if it was... Okay, just... What if it was... what if Florida State had gotten... Just hypothetically, just for sake of argument here, what if they got a Jackson Arnold as their backup quarterback? Would that change their mind? Because this dude was really good coming out of high school. There's a lot of expectations for him. Moving forward.
They have him. Brock Glenn was one of the best ones. He was like the number 17 player in the nation.
Yeah.
And he was their third stringer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rodemaker
right.
was even ahead of him.
Right.
Yeah, this
it's
is
insulting. Is what I'm saying. You're telling you're the committee is telling Florida State, oh, your other quarterbacks aren't any good. They're not good enough for this playoff.
Mm-hmm.
That's and I'd be insulted as personally as a quarterback. You're telling me I'm no good? I was recruited by Florida State, an up and coming program. They're getting back to where they were.
How many times have you watched a football game, or even from a week to week basis, and somebody not be there? And the praise for the team that is able to persevere. Mm-hmm. Golly, can you believe that they were able to persevere through and without this guy and still win that game against that team?
Yeah.
What a great accomplishment. It's always been a thing.
Right.
Man.
Or even individually to that quarterback.
How in the heck did Jeff Hostetler beat Joe Montana and end up beating Jim Kelly in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, this guy came in and kept him going. He kept them afloat. He's made some good plays.
And what's the other thing he's always said? Well, everybody else on their team has to elevate their performance.
I was saying it going into this.
Do you not think one touchdown and 38 drives by the opponent isn't Florida State's defense elevating their performance?
Right.
And here's one last thing. Spare me the TCU comparison. I saw a bunch yesterday.
I haven't seen this.
Is all TCU's fault because of what happened in the title game last year. See, that's crap. You want to know why? Because TCU proved they should be there because they won a semifinal.
Yeah, they beat
Michigan.
Yeah.
They didn't just hand them to Georgia on a silver platter in the finals. They had to go win a game, which they did. So that comparison is ludicrous to me. This is TCU's fault for getting blown out in the title game. This is why Florida State doesn't get a spot. No, TCU proved that TCU had to win a game to get blown out. Maybe don't let Michigan in. How are their last two years have gone? And oh, by the way, speaking of injuries, one of the second biggest injury in the country is Zach Zinner going down. Maybe that's why their offense has sputtered a little bit toward the end of the Ohio State game and against Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same team because of injury. Didn't slow it down, though. Still number one. Doesn't matter. It only matters when it's convenient. And that's the problem. There's no objective set of criteria. It's all subjective. Every bit of it.
Very much so.
All right, when we come back.
I think they're cowards because they're doing it for the last year of the 4-team playoff. They wouldn't have done this a couple years ago. I don't think they would have.
Oh.
I think they're cowards is what I...
Oh, they're cowards, but they'd have done it. The SEC is the goose that laid the golden egg, Jared.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said, we're people before property.
Well, it means that you put the person that you're working with or the family that you're working with, you put their interests first. You make sure that you find the right property for them at the price that they can afford. And make sure that you take good care of them through the process.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Now we're back!
Hey, I got to
go ahead.
I know we're short on time. Happy birthday to my dad. It's his birthday.
I saw that.
Today. Birthday today. I won't say how old, but happy birthday to him.
Best athlete picture you had there on Facebook.
I tricked him. We were going through storage stuff. We're trying to find some old Christmas decorations that my mom had, and we're going to separate them between my sister and my wife, and they wanted them, and we came upon his senior yearbook, and he was like, check this out. He was showing my girls, and they thought that was pretty cool. So I texted him, I was like, hey, send me that pic of you and the best athlete picture. Girls want to see that again. I tricked them. I wanted to put that on Facebook.
Be able to put it on Facebook.
Embarrass them a little bit. We're on the old Chuck Taylors.
Yeah.
Now, happy birthday, Dad.
Oh, Fred. Happy
birthday.
He was
the best athlete 1977
Uh-oh.
At Cheyenne High School.
Now people can do the math.
Well, go ahead and do the math.
Well, I can do it pretty easily because turns out that's the same year my mother graduated as well.
Okay.
So I've got that. I know that number down pretty good. All right. Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em is in the books. We appreciate Tyler, Robbie.
I took a nosedive
all
this last
game.
Couple. Yes.
You didn't pick this time. I forgot to pick too, actually.
I didn't pick. I was wondering.
I completely forgot.
I did. Well, I was in no contention. That's okay.
I completely forgot. I realized it on the way back Friday.
We couldn't win it. Anyways.
No, but it's just I hate not
bragging
to participate.
Rights. Yeah.
Because I had a decent bead on a lot of these in my mind. But, so the winner, and it's somebody that the winner had been ahead most of the year, fallen off a little bit and got caught, but Big Poppy 10 is the winner at 81-59.
Wow. Well, do the math. Does it say the percentage, pick percentage?
No.
Still pretty good. Out of
obviously,
all these participants, that's pretty good.
What's that, 21 games above 500? $100 bet on each game. So 8,100 minus 5,900. What's that? 3,200?
No, you're the number
22. Guy. 22. Yeah, obviously. 22 games above 500, right? Yep. So 2,200 less 590. So 600 would be 1,600. So what, $1,610 of profit on a $100 bet for every game? That's pretty darn good. So congratulations to Big Poppy 10. Now, if you'll just tell us who you are, and we have ways to verify this.
You've got to figure this stuff out.
We have ways to verify it, who it is. So Big Poppy 10 is the winner of the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em and 400 smackaroonies. Number two, TJ picks 80 and 60.
Our man up in Arnett, TJ?
He was listening earlier. Is that you?
That has to be.
Is that TJ? Arnett TJ?
Which, by the way, I'm disappointed he didn't come say hi to me when I was up in Arnett.
And the third place, the St. Louis Soup Company.
The St. Louis Soup Company. Okay.
That's what it says. The St. Louis Soup Company, third place. And then, as we had, I was close to this one because I didn't pick this week, made me even closer. But in 77th place overall, now I know there's a bunch of people behind him, but those people didn't pick every game. You had to pick 140 games, okay?
Right.
That was the number. 140 was the number. And the person, and what's crazy is it's the exact inverse of the winner. At 59-81, Vinny Della's spread picks, whoever that is, is also the last placed finisher that picked every game, so congratulations. There is a prize for that as well.
Nice try.
Great job, everybody. And as we said to start the contest, don't feel bad, Vinny. It's just as hard to miss them all as it is to get them
really
all right.
It is. That's some talent.
So congrats to all the winners. We'll figure out we'll get everybody contacted or figured out, and I know Tyler would be more than happy to come take a picture. Winners and all that. We couldn't have done it without him. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property is their motto. All your real estate needs, check out Western Oklahoma Realty. 225-6271 is their phone number. So good stuff. That was a fun contest all throughout the year.
Yeah, we'll probably come up with one March Madness.
Yeah, you know. And
it's kind of like we do one for in the spring, March Madness, and we do this.
We normally have a bowl pick 'em.
Yeah.
The contests are all be Western Oklahoma Realty contests. I've actually got a great idea for the prize for the March Madness.
Love it.
Guess what it is?
You going to say? Gonna
already yeah, I'll tell
us,
you what
announce
it is.
It? What
absolutely.
Is it? What is it?
Some sort of Masters memorabilia.
Oh, there you go. Yes. It's a great idea.
Some sort of Masters memorabilia.
That is a great idea.
Will be the winning prize for... It's going to be hard to be a shirt because we don't have any idea who wins, right? Actually, that's not true. Because the final is on the Monday practice round day. So we actually could know who the winner is. We will know who the winner is.
Yeah.
Because I don't go to Wednesday.
Right. We'll know by then.
Yeah. So we can do that.
Cool. Do they get like the pick, like a with like?
No.
No. They don't get
I'll
the
do,
pick.
I'll do the picking.
Well, you can't come back with like a pimento cheese sandwich and go, here you
no,
go.
No. It'll be something from like the tent, the
I got you.
Memorabilia
the merch.
Tent.
Yeah. You're going to be busy there, man. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid you're going to be busy.
I start putting out my Venmo
doing
people.
Some, I'm telling you, I'll hook you up.
Anyhow.
Only one, like one item. That's it.
All right. Portal season is upon us. It's a huge names already. I saw yesterday when Walter Nolan, defensive lineman, Texas A&M. Listen, A&M, there was always that wonder with Jimbo being fired if this was going to go, but the defensive line coach is headed to Syracuse as of last night, and then all of a sudden the portal season is wide open for A&M defensive linemen, Walter Nolan being one of them who was the top. So think about this. If you don't think and listen, I'm not one of those, and I've been on record as this, I'm not one of those that says the portal is the end-all, be-all. And I think I'm proven right if you look at the best teams use the portal as a supplement, not as their main recruiting. Like the JUCO ranks used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, so the 2022 class, 2 years in, four of the top 10 are already going to be at a different school. Four of the top 10 are already going to be have transferred through the portal. That is amazing. Today, Kyle McCord, quarterback Ohio State, and also to no one's surprise, but it still is shocking to see it on like when it pops up on Twitter, that Dylan Gabriel, quarterback Oklahoma, is also in the portal. So that means if you were wondering who's starting the bowl game, which I know that would have been a conversation if he was still here. You know, do you let Jackson Arnold have the reins? Do you, you know, Gabriel? Well, it's going to be Jackson Arnold as Gabriel is in the portal. Some schools to look for already kind of out there. Mississippi State, which I think that's pretty natural with his relationship with Jeff Lebby. And a couple others that are, one that Dakota told us this morning, Oregon. And the third, have you seen this one yet?
No.
This one's the most interesting. Because of what you think is on campus there with the ability for their head coach to recruit quarterbacks.
USC.
USC. Hmm. So maybe Malachi Nelson or Miller Moss aren't ready. Maybe they're portal bound. But the three, just looking at the on three, Mississippi State, Oregon, USC.
Well, I've heard people say if he stayed with OU – he would be the, and I'm just repeating what someone said, he would probably be the best quarterback in the SEC statistically. He was this year in the Big 12 going into this year statistically. And I think, I mean, he's all team first, team Big 12. So it makes you wonder, you know, if he does go to Mississippi State, the natural fit with Lebby, you know, they're already on the same page. Would that, you know, does that make Mississippi State a little better? But there's a lot, it's curious, and it's just, I think there's more shock for me nowadays in the portal age of not who enters but where they land, right? Like, oh, whoa, they went there.
Yeah, so
you know
think,
what I mean.
So if you were Dylan Gabriel, I mean, I think you get it. Writing has been on the wall here.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of knew what Arnold was or what and with the it makes sense, okay? To me, it makes sense. So what is your, if you're him, what are maybe your top two or three, when you look at a destination, what are your priorities?
Well, one, NIL.
I think money is number one.
Yeah. And two, who can prepare him for the NFL? Who does he think? And that kind of checks both boxes at USC. If they want him, you know, if they want him, they're going to pay for him. They'll get him and they'll recruit him. And but do they want him? I don't know. And in Oregon too. Oregon, they could afford him. And maybe Mississippi State, they'll get a bunch of, because like, hey, let's. And they were saying this before we went on. We want to start off with the bang with Lebby. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in this guy who's had incredible success with Lebby at OU those 2 years. Let's get him here. Let's see what we got for one season and get things rolling. But money's the – who's the highest bidder? Who's the highest bidder?
Who's the highest bidder? But the one thing that he has to – and if you know, if he wants to play in the NFL, he has to – if he's not just going to go to the draft, if he wants to play in the NFL, he has to continue to play college football, which to me, after money – and maybe even should be number one, but it probably won't be because of what his value could be to somebody out there. But it has to be like a guaranteed spot. You don't want to go somewhere where you're going to have to battle for the quarterback or for the QB1 and then not win the battle. That would defeat the purpose. You could battle here. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And
you could sit here and battle Jackson Arnold
like
all year.
Lesson learned, Spencer Sanders leaving. Thinking he had a spot.
There's a ton of them. There's a ton of people.
He didn't have the spot. He went in relief, I think, for like Dart when he was dinged up a couple times.
There's a ton of guys all over the country that are, and it's not
they
just necessarily quarterbacks.
Is, yeah, they yeah. And maybe they're told. Maybe and you kind of looking around. Maybe they're told, hey, yeah, you got a spot here. They show up. Well, it turns out you need to battle for it.
But that's to me why Oregon makes a ton of sense. Nick's gone. Mm-hmm. That one, of those, I mean.
He's a big fan of Mariota.
Of those, yeah, that's true too. And of those three places, if you're just looking at Mississippi State, Oregon, and USC, Mississippi State may not give you the opportunity to battle for a conference title, battle for a playoff spot, just because of who they are. USC, unless you see guys leaving in the portal now, you're going to be in the midst of an absolute quarterback battle, right? And you look at what Oregon's got, three freshmen and a sophomore in the QB room. So could that also be another place where Dan Lanning, as maybe Lincoln Riley is as well, not comfortable with the progression of the guys on campus or knows instead of a five-person quarterback room, we're about to have three and we're about to have two, counting maybe Gabriel. And, man, do we need somebody. You know, I think that's got to be, to me, the most important thing if you're going to make, especially as the quarterback, is to have a spot where you're guaranteed to be the starter, and the money will just come with it. But for him, it may not be. And maybe he doesn't want to play in the NFL. Because, man, it's hard to imagine his stock being very much higher than it is right now. Mm-hmm. And what's he going to do? His arm can't get way stronger. He's not going to get taller. You know what I mean? He just kind of is what he is. But maybe he just likes playing college football. And if that's true, and the NFL really isn't much of a consideration for him, then I think Mississippi State is absolutely where he's headed.
Yeah.
With comfortability with Lebby and just to go play with him again, I think that makes 1,000,000% sense. If the NFL is kind of in the back of his mind instead of the front.
Yeah.
But it's still crazy to see this. I mean, Kyle McCord, are you kidding?
Which I've heard he was kind of told it might be in your best interest.
What?
That's what I heard. That Day kind of made – allegedly Day went to him and said, you know what? It might be in your best interest to enter the portal.
Really?
That's what I was I heard, I think, right again on the Morning Animal, the guys before us.
Well, who do they have that they're so?
Don't know. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
We just got a text. Ohio State, a possible landing spot for Gabriel. Maybe that. Wild. It's wild.
I thought McCord was pretty good this year.
Obvious limitations, but he wasn't
first
CJ.
Year starter in
he wasn't CJ yeah. Stroud. Guess what? There's a bunch of quarterbacks in the NFL that aren't CJ Stroud.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, again, I'm just more shocked where they land.
Where they land instead of leaving.
And not leaving.
All right, everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.